In my job as a social worker, I've got a lot of rules that I have to follow. There are a lot of different people setting rules that I have to follow. Sometimes it's a government program deciding what we can and cannot do with their money. Sometimes it's the state, and sometimes it's the agency that I work for. So there are quite a lot of rules that I have to follow. And I've noticed that people can have very different responses to rules. Some people really like them. They tell you what to do, what you can't do. I like them sometimes because they tell me when I'm going the wrong way and where not to go. Have you ever been driving down a one-way street and you've got that one car that's coming straight towards you? Sometimes rules and everybody following the rules can be a very good thing. But sometimes people really don't like the rules. They don't care what the rules are. They're like, oh, you drew this line and you said I can't cross it? Well, I'm just gonna step on over and see what happens. The law is at the center of our passage today. But as Christians, we know that the law doesn't save us. We are saved by faith, by the grace of Christ Jesus. And whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing in any given moment, we know that God loves us, forgives us, and restores us. So knowing the rules isn't the way that we access salvation. Paul says that we're saved by faith, but he also says that the law is good and holy. Jesus said that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In the Old Testament, we, especially in the Psalms, we have a lot of passages that talk about the law. Psalm 119, the longest psalm, takes every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and has a different poem about it, and they're all focused on the law and how the law is good. The law is a light. The law is a guide. And in Psalm 1, which we're talking about today, the law is described as a delight. So how do we make sense of this? Where does the law fit for us as Christians? When we know very clearly that we are not saved by the law, but it's still there and still a part of the Bible. I think that one easy way to read this passage is to say that it is an assurance that if I do the right things, I'll be a good person. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, who doesn't take the way that sinners take, who doesn't sit in the company of mockers. That's the text. Is this telling us that we should figure out who those people are and make sure we don't associate with them? Is this telling us that we need to draw a line between them and us? They're like that, and I'm not, so I'm going to go over here and do something different? I would suggest that that's not the way this text is intended to be read. There is a way to look at things where it's called prescriptive. We know what the rules are, we know what they're going to be, and we're saying, this is what this means. If you do this, this is the way things will turn out. But there's also a way to say that things are descriptive. If we meditate on the law of the Lord, then we are naturally going to be going in a different path from the mockers, the sinners, and the scoffers. I think we've all heard about the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians, and in the New Testament over and over again, it talks about how our faith will bear fruit, and how when we are saved by grace, we are planted firmly in God's word, we start doing and living differently. And this is the fruit that comes out in our lives. But I've got a plant on my desk at work. And in order to keep those leaves nice and green and bright, I have to take care of it on a regular basis. I have to give it water. But I don't water the leaves. That wouldn't help the plant at all. That wouldn't help them stay green. I avoid the leaves, and I pour the water on the dirt where the roots are. And we have imagery in this psalm of a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season. So I would suggest that this text is not telling us who to avoid and what not to do, and who we shouldn't be and what rules to follow. Instead, it's trying to point our focus onto God and the law of God. And it's telling us that when we are planted in that faith, that is what nourishes us and helps us grow. I also want to take a minute to look at this word law. I started by talking about rules, and that's where my head goes when I hear the word law. I usually start thinking about rules. But in the Hebrew text here, the word law means much more than that. The word law is Torah. And the Torah is the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This isn't a set of rules. This is a story. This is the story of how God created the world. This is the story of how God called Abraham and told him to leave a land where he worshiped idols, to follow God, gave him a promise, and sent him on a journey of transformation. This is the story of the Exodus, when the people of Israel were suffering in slavery in Egypt, and God reached out and brought them out of Egypt through the desert to the promised land, where they could build a new life. The Ten Commandments, the law, the rules in the Bible are all framed by a story. And it is through this story and these rules that we understand who God is, what God's character is like, what God wants, and the good things that God has in store for us. We, as Christians, also have the story of the New Testament, the story of Jesus, God incarnate, who came to earth, lived as a human, suffered and died, and rose again. We've got the promise not just of the promised land of Canaan, but of the kingdom of heaven, which is to come. And so everything we are is grounded in this story. These are our roots. This is what sustains and nourishes us. This psalm also uses the word meditate. So when I think of the word meditate, this is what generally comes to mind. Someone sitting cross-legged, usually alone, always silent, generally with your eyes closed, and often I think of clearing your mind or emptying your mind or trying not to think about too much of anything, but to have a stillness and a peacefulness inside. And that can be good. But this psalm talks about meditating on the law. And the word here means a lot more than just sitting still and being quiet. It is The same word is used in another place to talk about a lion standing over its prey. So this is an animal chewing its food. It's just caught its dinner and it's eating. And it's saying, nope, no one else can come near, this is mine. But to meditate is to let something sink in and become a part of you. It's to chew on it, to muse on it, to think on it. I think that it's a lot like sitting down to a really good meal. A really good meal tastes really good and we enjoy eating it. If it's a well-balanced meal, it's going to have all of the parts of the food pyramid, be brightly colored. That's how we're supposed to eat healthy, right? You want your cake and your dessert, but you also want your vegetables, your meat, your bread. There's a little bit of everything there. And these are all the things that our bodies need to keep us strong, to sustain us and nourish us. And after you've walked away from that table and that meal, that food is still at work inside of you. It's giving you energy, it's strengthening your muscles, and it's carrying you through the day to the next meal. And so when we sit down with the Word of God, it's like sitting down to a good meal. And even if we forget what we read, we don't remember every detail. Maybe we don't have the background to understand the Hebrew words or the original Greek. That word is still powerful, and it still nourishes us. And it stays with us when we spend time in the Word. That stays with us as we go through our day. Sometimes I sit down with my Bible and I read and I study and I go, okay, I've seen something in my life that I really need to change, or I think God is really talking to me about something. And then I go about my day and shoot, what do you know? I saw it in my life again. I did it again. I'm not perfect. None of us are. But shoot, shouldn't studying this word suddenly make me better, make me do things differently now that God has shown me this message? Going back to this metaphor of agriculture, of the tree, the plant that bears fruit. When you're watching a tree grow, you don't see the changes right away. You water it one day, you come back the next day, and it's going to look exactly the same. You come back next year, and it might look just a little bit bigger. But you come back 20 years later, and that tree is going to look very, very different. And so I think that this psalm leaves us with an encouragement to keep coming back to the Word of God, even when maybe we don't feel like it's changing us or we don't see the differences immediately. Keep coming back to our time with God. Keep coming back to this church meetings where we spend time with others who are also engaged with God. And as we keep our focus on God, we keep our hearts on God, we meditate on His Word, God's Spirit is at work within us. Jesus promised us a counselor, and we can see over the years this slow growth that does begin to yield fruit in ways that we can't quite imagine or expect. But the psalm ends saying that the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And so this tells us that when we take the time to meditate on the Word, when we plant ourselves in the story of what God has done for us. God is here with us. He's taking the journey beside us, and he's guiding us to where he wants us to be.